often chooses for his kingdom what is rejected and despised in the world, and how God sometimes condemns the respectable religious people. And that's a real warning to those of us who are regular churchgoers, isn't it? Are we truly on the side of God's kingdom? Or are we merely on the side of respectability, some sort of human idea? I don't know if you remember the story when Joshua sent two spies to spy out Jericho. I was told this week that apparently, you remember the walls of Jericho that Joshua blew his trumpet and they all fell down? Apparently the walls of Jericho were so thick that two chariots could race side by side along the top of the walls of Jericho. I think that means they must have been at least 20 feet thick. That is a thick wall, isn't it? And you blow your trumpet and it falls down. That must have been a miracle. But when Joshua sent those two spies into Jericho, they had to hide because word went round that they were there and they were searching for them. And do you know who hid them? It was Rahab, the prostitute. And she believed in God and she came good. And not only was she saved with all the people, when all the people of Jericho were destroyed in the attack, but also she's actually listed later on as the father of Boaz, you remember, who married Ruth. And so the great-great-grandmother of King David and the ancestor of Jesus, the Messiah. So she actually gets a place of fame in the Bible. And she was not only a foreigner from Jericho, but she was also a prostitute. She sold her body for money. So was she respectable? Well, you tell me. I think she was actually at the bottom of society's list of respectable people. And yet, God obviously had a place for her. Or do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, the thief, the robber beside him, who said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus who saw through people, Jesus who knew the heart of mankind, said to that man, "You will be in heaven." Or again, do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The man who was beaten up and left for dead by the side of the road. And the respectable people came by, didn't they? The good observant Jews, the priest and the Levite. But they turned up their noses and walked by on the other side of the road. They preserved their purity, but they didn't do what God wanted. It was the despised Samaritan. It was the outsider, the foreigner, who does the will of God and who cares for the man. So you can see what I'm, you know, the message that's coming through there, that again and again, Jesus surprises us by favouring the disreputable seeker after God. His stories kind of turn our expectations on their heads, don't they? We think it's going to be the respectable people. In fact, the Jewish leaders at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and so on, they thought that Jesus would be with all the respectable people like them. But in fact, Jesus mixed with the disrespectable people. And this story that we just heard read, thank you to Jane and to Hannah for reading that. This story is famous, the prodigal son. Because he rashly spent everything that he had from his father. Or sometimes it's called the two sons, because the older brother that Jane read about at the end, he's also significant, isn't he? Or sometimes it's called the welcoming father, because the whole story turns around the father's attitude. Today's Mothering Sunday, of course, isn't it? This father is the perfect parent, isn't he? He forgives his son and welcomes him. The image up on the screen there is one of the famous images of this story a painting by Rembrandt, showing the father welcoming his son home, the prodigal son. And some people have said that this story, perhaps even this picture, shows the heart of the gospel, how God forgives us, how he welcomes us back. And that's actually a great summary of the gospel, isn't it? That it's all about forgiveness. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to receive eternal life? Well, it means to return to our Heavenly Father and to be welcomed with open arms. Mums, it's a good example to us, isn't it, of forgiveness and love towards a child who's gone wrong, but who wants to return. Yesterday, actually, as we were returning home, I saw a mum having trouble with her naughty little boy, and she kept on pulling him back and ticking him off and telling him not to do those things and not to lick bits of the bus that he didn't really need to lick and so on. And I longed to say to her, you know, just love him, because he actually doesn't need ticking off every moment of every day. I think actually she wasn't finding it easy coping with a boy. But there you go, fair enough. But this father is an example to us. Now you may have noticed, that our reading missed out a few verses of Luke chapter 15. And those verses we missed out are actually two other little similar parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin. And both of those parables are also about the owner, the carer, leaving the majority behind and going in search of the lost sheep or the lost coin and finding the thing that was lost and bringing it home with great joy and celebration. And Jesus emphasizes the party. He says there's a great party in heaven. He says that's what the kingdom of God will be like when one sinner returns to God. I wonder if you can remember an occasion like that, can you? When you lost something and you thought, oh no. And then when you found it again, that feeling of relief and joy and delight. Or maybe even you've got lost yourself and then found your way back home again. Perhaps you were the child, or maybe you've lost a child. Jane and I can remember, it was a long time ago now, but our now grown-up children, we can remember when we lost them in a shopping centre and didn't know where they were. And there's that awful feeling, isn't there, of loss and almost bereavement. Then when you find them again, it's very tempting to tick them off for going astray, isn't it? But actually, the father welcomes the son home, and that's an example to us. It's not unusual, is it, for people to get lost today? Much of today's world seems hell-bent on teaching us independence. Turns out to be little more than the sulk of a rebellious teenager, the sort of independence that we're encouraged to have in the world. But can I say, you can come back. There is forgiveness. That's what our God is good at. That's the good news, the gospel. The father has to explain to the elder son, we had to have a party. We just had to party. Because at the start of the story, actually they were having a go at Jesus. Because Jesus was partying with the riffraff, a rough crowd. Just imagine the scene for a moment. It's a bit of a huge crowd of people, a gang. I mean, imagine perhaps you wandered into the pub or whatever and found a large crowd, standing room only. In Jesus' time, some of them would have been a bit scruffy. Perhaps some of them rather suspiciously well-dressed. You think, well, how could they afford clothes like that? Lots of good cooking, dishes of food coming out from the kitchen and so on. Large flagons of wine and people helping themselves, taking another glass of wine and enjoying it. And in the middle of it all, Jesus, relaxed, easy with the crowd, and telling them about the kingdom, about the first being last and the last being first, and so on. But can you imagine around you, where you're standing at the back or whatever, other voices? What's he up to now? What's he doing now? Isn't he supposed to be a prophet? Aren't they supposed to be the holy people, not messing around with the rabble? And that's when Jesus tells this story about these two brothers. One who messes up, spends all the money, but realizes he's done wrong and comes and apologizes to his father and is forgiven. And the other son, the self-righteous one, who's indignant and angry at all this forgiveness. Tom Wright's version says he flew into a rage and wouldn't go in. I wonder if you've done that or remember people doing that or whatever, being all indignant and righteous and saying, nope, this is wrong. All this bad behaviour being rewarded. Sometimes we do, don't we? We want to see people punished and excluded and so on, because that's justice, that's what's right and proper. Have a little look at your list on the back of that worksheet again. The people that you perhaps thought you don't expect to see in heaven. In a way, I've got bad news, I think, because some of those will turn to God. And God forgives because of Jesus. And we may well be rather indignant at that. We may well think, hang on, that shouldn't happen. That's maddening. It's unfair. It's unjust. Do you remember the prophet Jonah? God told him to go and preach against the city of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh repented and responded and turned to God. And Jonah was furious. He said, I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd forgive them. It's not right. When people are let off from a debt, or when prisoners are given parole, when they're let off time in prison, we think it wrong, don't we? Until, of course, we're in that position. Or until it's someone that we know and love and care for. And that's the point of this story. Because in the end, every human being needs forgiveness. Some of us who think we've made it get a little bit toffee-nosed about all that. Perhaps even church people who should know better. But God forgives. It's actually the heart of the good news. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more, God says in Jeremiah. Or in the message, I'll forever wipe the slate clean of their sins. It's the gospel story, the story of the kingdom of God. God welcomes sinners, he forgives them, and he throws a party. And it's also a story about families, isn't it? This is a story about families coming back together again. Maybe that even rings bells with your family. Good child, bad child. Good brother, bad brother. Favoured child, black sheep. One behaving well and one messing up. One heading off, one staying close to the family home. Mothering Sunday was traditionally a Sunday when families came back together again and made up, when children came home and families were restored. I don't know your family. Maybe in your family there's a little bit of making up to do, some restoration that's needed. Is there somebody who's come home again? Or maybe in the family of God, we're gathered here, aren't we, in the church, as the people of God. Maybe there's somebody who needs to return home and be forgiven and welcomed. So can I suggest today, call out to that person. Reach out to them. Maybe it's you. Maybe you need to do the apologizing and be welcomed back. We all need God's forgiveness. And those who fly into a rage and won't go in only really hurt themselves. Let's just be quiet for a moment, if we will. Think about that family coming together again. Think about the celebration. And let's think whether there's something God's calling us to do. Or maybe you've been a little bit like the elder brother, indignant, not wanting to see people forgiven and pardoned. We're going to use the words of confession up on the screen.